'cause I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love, King Z. Holy, 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 high and lifted up. Oh, you're shining the light of your glory. So pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy.
Shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you. Good to see you today. Good to be seen. Good to be seen. Good to be seen. God bless you. Bless you, sister. Come on out here. Come on out here. Get from behind here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Get out of here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here. Let's get the old people off stage. Come on, Rich. Come on. Come on. Let's go. We have to get out. We have to get down in shifts now because there's not any room for everybody to get down at the same time. But thank God for the musicians. Amen. Lord, remember when we were here, first got the church going, it was as many musicians as they are was in the sanctuary, so. And Sister Betty Cunningham played the piano some. Joyce played the piano some. Charlotte played the piano some. Charlotte played the piano some. And we didn't have no guitar. We didn't have no organ. We didn't have no drums. We didn't have no banjo. We didn't have no... Yeah, that too. We didn't have nothing, hardly. The piano set right over there, and that was about all we had. But now, the Lord has really blessed us. Even blessed us with musicians that are back there that are not up here playing, that can fill in and fill out and do all those different things. So we thank God for that. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Remember, for those of you men that didn't make it to the meeting, Bob, we're leaving on Sunday afternoon as soon as the church is over next Sunday, and then we will be going up. For those of you that want to come, get directions to Tugalo State Park. And I cannot remember the cabin numbers, but I will get it for you if you need it. And come up on Monday and just at least be with us and eat with us for the Low Country Boil that we're going to do on Monday night. So, and you ladies, you got something you got to do. Y'all are getting together. So that's good that everybody's getting together. We're going to enjoy Brother Keith Reed next Sunday. He'll be preaching for us. So, and he'll be going up with us to the Father's Day time of fellowship. So just keep us in your prayer and everything will be safe and we'll be ready to, eat and enjoy each other. We'll have some air conditioning this year. You won't have to stay in those yurts like you did last year. Some of the younger ones with Richard. I did one night and I'm telling you, it was hot. Those things are made for like Alaska. They're not made for Georgia in June, I promise you that. There's no ventilation, no air conditioning, no nothing. So, Rebecca, y'all come on in here. I ain't started reading scripture yet. Y'all get on in here. Get in here. Come on, Hope. Bring that baby. Get in here. Act like you ain't been here before. Man, got young people growing up. Lord have mercy. Whew, Lordy, remember the birthday party? Speaking of people growing up, We got birthday party. Number 77. 77. Seven's a good number. Now remember though, seven's completion, so be careful. So we'll have mom's birthday party after the second service. And also remember, keep me in your prayer July 19th through the 22nd, June, and I'll be going to Arizona to do a meeting from Brother Chris Long. So there you go. And well, I'm sure there'll be a lot of other things filled in. So let's go to Revelation 8. We've been speaking on the shout, but today we're going to kind of continue with that, but we're also going to go into the voice. This would be part 4 of the seventh seal, the voice. I talked to Brother Claude yesterday, and we talked for about an hour, and he's on part 21 on the seventh seal. So, see what you got to look forward to? And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you today, Lord, that we have a opportunity to stand before the greatest people on the face of this earth, the bride of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we can speak, Lord, and let you do the speaking. You do the revealing, Lord. You do what you're supposed to do. You said, if any man hear my voice, then you said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they'll not follow. So Lord, I pray that we hear the voice of you today, that it'll not be a strange voice, as in past times we've heard strange voices of strange doctrines, strange ideas, but Lord, there is one voice that is correct, and that's your voice. Lord, you've never had to take back a word that you've ever said, and we thank you for that, Lord. We put all of our confidence in what you said. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Be with us, Lord, in the furtherment of this service. You take over, Father, for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You be seated. We can read John 19, verse 30. It said, when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Eventually, we'll get into that. But as of right now, we won't be. But we're going to read that, so that just puts a little seed in your head. Because he said, it is finished. In other words, his earthly journey was over with. As far as being that part, he was done. It was finished. But did that finish his work? No, that just actually begun his work. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That's why we're talking about the seventh seal, the silence in heaven. There's nothing we can write on the board. We may get into something later on, or may you have to be able to write something on the board as God reveals it. But right now, you'll not see that board because there's nothing going to be put on the board. Because there's silence in heaven for the space of a half an hour. Nothing's going on. But don't tell me when Jesus said it is finished that that was it. No, he just continued doing his work. He went on to the souls in prison. He came and got the people of paradise. He went and took his body and had it, got it glorified, walked, stepped back on the earth, walked right back among the disciples, left them and told them, I'll be right back in just a few days, and came back on the day of Pentecost, and he has not rested since. Amen. He's been doing a job, and today that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. Now, the shout, sometimes when you see a shout, it's when somebody shouts, you turn to see what's going on. Anytime in a crowd somebody shouts, you turn to see what's going on. But now as we go into the voice, I've said many times before, you know, you can be in a crowd and they're all talking and all you hear is just this muddled words, but all of a sudden your child says, mama or daddy, right? What do? You don't, there's silence all the way around you then. You're focused on what that child, because that's your child, and you are connected to that child, amen? So that's the same way with God. When John turned to see the voice, in Revelations, we'll get to it, he turned to see the voice, and what did he see? He saw seven golden candlesticks, and one likened to the Son of Man standing there. John, realizing he knew who that voice was, alright, so that's what our whole thing now is to see the shout, the voice, and the trump, because the voice is the voice of the resurrection. So it cannot be a voice, just a voice. It's got to be the voice of God. Amen? So that's what we're going to get into today, but let's kind of background a little bit. The Bible says also in Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Now remember, everybody's made the seventh seal, this and that and the other, and all these different things. You've heard many doctrines and many things talked about the seventh seal. But as Brother Claude and I were talking yesterday, there's your seal. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where you are sealed until the day of your redemption. The seventh seal is your total redemption, your total redemption. Not seven men with voices, not tent vision, not return ministry. The seventh seal is your redemption. So they've made it everything else. We were talking last night, and it's true. Satan loves us to believe those different things. That's Satan's job, is to get us to what? Get us offline from listening to the real voice of God that tells you that if this seven seal book is a book of redemption, who gets redeemed first? Me and you. So it's the seventh seal. It's not this out here. And you know, Brother Brown says, you know, what does man do? He looks and sees what's coming and he sees what's behind, but he forgets what's going on right now. But what's going on right now is the seventh seal's being opened. It's being opened now in an individual form. Sure, Brother Branham, back ever how many years ago that was, that seal opened to him. And he saw what it was, but he couldn't tell all the three parts. Remember, he said one part open yesterday, one today, and one was in an unknown language. Now, that unknown language is the one that you and I are going to talk about maybe about 30 sermons from now. Amen? Because I believe that there's three parts to it. And the unknown part that was in an unknown language has got to be revealed before the seventh seal can totally open. All right. So now let's just background a little bit of what we've been talking about. Go to number one. But I want us to keep this in mind. The seventh seal is not a happening that you can write on a board. Now, we took the first seal, White Horse Rider, and we wrote him across, and we put white, and we put a church, and we put a church age with it, and we put this with it, and we put the number 2 and number 3 and number 4, number 5 and number 6. We just filled the board full, right? With symbols and acts and things that went on. But the seventh seal, you can't put anything up there. It's disappeared. But it's being made known. Amen? And where's it disappeared at? In you. All that drawing has all disappeared. Where's it disappeared? It's disappeared in your revelation. This whole seventh seal is about you. Not about this one and that one and the other one and this happening and this one coming back and this one this and this and that and this and the other. Everybody's waiting on the third pull. Third pull is the opening of the word. If it's not opening to you, then you're not even in the second pull yet. Okay? That's what me and Brother Claude were talking about last night. Everybody's screaming third pull, third pull. They can't get out of the second pull. They can't get out of the first pull, some of them. That was a healing campaign. They can't get out of that. The third pull is not the healing campaign. The third pull is the opening of this seal right here, the opening of the word. Amen? It's not carnal reform. Carnal reform is laying on of hands and all those other things. We've already been through all that. Amen? I'm just telling you what Brother Brown said. So look, let's get number one. Now he breaks the seal. So now we know one thing's for sure. He's the only one that can break the seal. Reveals, gives us his inheritance to his people. He gives the inheritance that he inherited. Now we all know that, but some of you that are, Brother John and Sister Maya back with us for at least for one day, I really wish we could lock them up and keep them here, but, Sister Maya, she said something about going back home, so. I'm going to blame her. I'm not going to blame Brother John. I'm going to blame her. but we were on the seals when they were here the last time, but we're on number 7 now. But this inheritance that Jesus inherited, remember, he inherited eternal life in his body.
Right.
All right? His body was not redeemed until it was changed.
Right.
Okay? All right? And it was not eternal. Now it is eternal. When he walked out of that tomb, he inherited eternal life, becoming kinsman redeemer. Why? Kinsman redeemer has to be a flesh cousin or a flesh kinfolk. All right? Christ couldn't be our kin. Jesus Christ had to be our kin. Amen? All right, because remember, Christ is the anointing, and Christ could anoint people. But when Jesus Christ came on earth as a human being, that was our kinsman redeemer. We could go to him, and he could what? He could take back all that Satan had took away from us. He could take that back. Being kinsman, he inherited eternal life. And who is the seal? We're going to talk about it in just a minute. Jesus Christ is the seventh seal. We're going to read that in just a minute. Christ is the seventh seal. All right. And freely gives it out to who? Us. So what are you and I? We are recipients of whatever he gets. That's pretty simple. But we are recipients. We just not really believe that yet. We are recipients of this eternal inheritance. All right. He was the one who redeemed, but instead of keeping it himself, he gives it back to what? The people. Me and you. That's his love for us. All right, let's go to the second one. I'm going to try to stay on my notes today. Number two, the breach. For each one of these seals, the whole thing together. Now look, the whole mystery lays in these seals. Every mystery of the Bible lays in these seals, and the seals cannot be broken until that time. Now notice the book. Remember, sealed. Here's, remember, it was sealed up, wrapped up. But look what he says. It's a book of redemption.
Right.
So now look. So you can't take seal 1 through 6 and say, well, that was redemption, and then the seventh seal something different. It's a total plan of redemption. Remember, 7 is completion. That completes the whole plan of redemption is that number 7. We went through that number 7. Number 7 is God's completed number. All right? So number 7. And the whole thing together makes the book, and it's sealed with 7 seals. Now remember, we saw it where the seals are open now. You can read what's on the pages. From Genesis to Revelation, a complete plan of redemption is revealed in these 7 seals. Now who does it start with? Now it says a complete plan of redemption. But you and I have to be redeemed first, then the earth. Actually, look, hold on. Us, 144,000, then the earth, then the foolish virgin, white throne judgment, and then full redemption only happens when we walk into that new city.
Right.
All right, that's when full redemption is over, is when we walk into that city. But remember, redemption is over for us here.
Right.
That's why the Bible says in Revelation 10, time shall be no longer. You and I have entered, we're not in a church age. We're not in any age at all. We're in the bride age, just like everybody else has come out. But I want you to really see something that Brother Claude brought to my attention, and I want to read it to you in just a little bit. But from Genesis to Revelation, a complete plan of redemption is revealed in these 7 seals.
Right.
Oh, it's an important time. Now, is it important to you?
Right.
Is it important to you? Or are we just coming to church again?
Right.
That's my question to you. Is it important? All right, let's go to number 3. It's rising the sun. Look what we've seen in this day. The quickening power has come to us to open the 7 seals. What was it? The intelligence of a man? No, the quickening power of God.
Right.
Now remember, during that whole 7, or actually it was 8 days of those meetings, Brother Branham hardly raised his voice. There was a prayer line on the day of the questions and answers, and if you'll read that prayer line, he hardly does any discernment. He just says, God bless you, in the name of the Lord bless you, read your book, read your seal book, in the name of Jesus, receive your healing. He just went, in other words, what am I saying? There was no shouting, no screaming, no great, what we would call an anointing, but he said it was the greatest anointing he ever worked under. And it was a quickening power. Now, what are you and I looking for? We're looking for a quickening power to where we do like Brother Joe, is we get up and we're going to do that if y'all fall asleep. Brother Joe's coming out of that building out there. I told him to keep his thing on because we're coming out here. We're going to walk around. We're going to find Jesus today. All right? But look, the quickening power of God is when God quickens the word to you, not your neighbor. Not Brother Dale, not Brother Wade. When God quickens the word to you, that's why we keep asking, even Brother Dale, where is your experience? Can you actually go back and find out where you were justified. Know where you were sanctified. Know where you received the new birth. Know that God has worked on your life for, it don't care if you've been in a message 50 years or 15 minutes. If you got the new birth, you're that 11th hour worker that come in right now, today, and you get just as much as those people that I told them many times before. Here we are with Brother Dale, and we got Brother, all the different ones that went on, and you got, Brother Howard Carroll and different ones that, I mean, they just paved the road for us. Us young preachers, we should be, I'm not young by no means, but I'm a young preacher, but by no means should we have to have all this garbage in front of us. They went through the garbage. They blazed the trail. They've cut back all the unbelief where we should have a free road to where we just take it right on to the coming of the Lord. Amen? So we ought to thank God that we are now at the end time when everything is coming apart out there, but it's coming together in here. Alright? He is the one who opened those seals. He is those seals. Now look, so if you open a seal and if you see the seals and if you talk about the seven seals, you got to talk about Christ. And Christ is the seals that was opened. Not the Antichrist. It exposed the Antichrist, but it revealed Christ. What is the opening of seals then? Revealing Christ. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, number six, and number seven is revealing of Christ. Because if you didn't have Christ on the first seal, who opened the first seal to the prophet Brother Branham? The seventh seal did. Christ opened that seal. Brother Branham didn't open the seal. Christ opened the seals. The whole word of God is Christ, and Christ is the seals that was opened. Everybody all right with that? Say amen. Amen. So now, let me ask you a question. You say, oh, well, the seals were this and that and the other. Let's narrow it down. Narrow it down. Today, we're going to narrow it down. What is the opening of the seals? Revealing Christ. All right, let's go to the next scripture. Colossians 1, verse 26. We've read this a million times. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. Now, what is happening? Paul is standing in a position, and he's looking back through the Old Testament. Because remember, he's writing the New Testament. He's not even got, you know, there's not even, the church age just barely started when he wrote Colossians. Amen? All right, so what's he doing? Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, that's what we've been doing for 50 years since the prophets left, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. So where's the seventh seal today? Oh, it's Brother Branham coming back. Oh, it's this tent. Oh, it's this boat. Oh, it's this plane. All right. We've made it. No, I'm sorry. Satan has made it everything but the truth. Right. The truth is the seventh seal is you. Right. If it don't open to you and if you don't manifest, if we don't take a body change, then this thing is totally wrong. Right. Brother Branham wasted his time. Yes. Right. But we know he didn't. Because that was the voice of God speaking to me and you. And you and I are now commissioned to carry this thing on. Right. Amen? The same voice though, not another voice, not another doctrine, not another denomination. There's more denominations in this message than there are out there in the world. But how can there be if it's the voice of God? That's what Mary and Brother Claude were talking about. You see the voice of God written on a book, right? It used to be called voice of God recording, or I guess it is now. It used to be spoken word, now it's voice of God. Really? Really? And they tell you to stay home and listen to tapes? That ain't the voice of God, folks. You hear me? That ain't the voice of God. That's the voice of a man. But the voice of God will tell you to do what that Bible says. Regardless of anything else, it'll tell you to do what that Bible says, because Christ is the seals, Christ is the Word, and Christ is in you. So how can you say something different in that chain of command? You can't. You can't. All right, let's go to Matthew. He said this is revealing Christ. And what was the mystery? The mystery was Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the great mystery. Now, Jesus is telling them after, this is Matthew 24, right at the end of the seal. Remember, he's not speaking of the seventh seal, but watch what he says. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We're fulfilling that scripture. That's me and you. I'm going to get to something in just a minute. There's some scripture in this Bible that's not to you. There's some scripture in this Bible that's to you and everybody else. There's scripture in this Bible that's just to you only and nobody else. We got to find the ones that are to us and nobody else. All right? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice. Who is that to? That's to you. That's to no one else. No one heard the shout. No one else heard the voice. Except you and I. You say throw away all the other scriptures? No, I didn't say that. But you got to read the ones that's to you. Brother Brown said a present day truth, a present day revelation. They didn't have that revelation even when Brother Branham was here. Of the shout and the voice and the archangel. Really? No, they didn't. There was no resurrection in Brother Brown's ministry. No, I'm talking about no resurrection. I'm talking about big resurrection, not just resurrection of the dead. Amen? There wasn't. That's now. Look. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the seventh seal. Or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. I mean, come on, people. Is that what we're living under? Great signs and wonders. And so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Jesus said, behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. How are you going to know where Christ is? If he's in you, you know where he is. If he's in you, you don't have to. If somebody comes to you and says, well, you need to go to so-and-so church. They got this doctrine that you need to believe. Well, you know what? If you got the Holy Ghost inside of you, it'll say no. Some new doctrine come up, and if it's not true, what's that Holy Ghost supposed to do? It protects the Word, but it protects you because you're part of the Word. Amen? That's what we have to do. We have to look for the protection of the Word. But look, nobody, you know, when it lightens, what do you know? You say, well, it came from over here, it came from over here. That's the same way with you and I. We're a mystery. We are the hidden mystery. From the beginning of time is that there's a bride standing on this earth with all this junk going on, all these things going on in politics and going on in religion and going on even in this message. Amen? That you and I can understand it and not be rattled, not be fearful, not be wandering back and forth. That's what they did in the wilderness. They wandered over here and they wandered over there. Amen? That's what you and I are doing. We're not wandering in the wilderness. We're wondering whether so-and-so's right or whether this one's right. Heard some things Brother Claude told me that his brother told him that if anybody wants to know it in private, I'll not say it out loud, but my heavens, I can't believe message people are preaching what they're preaching. I just cannot believe it. But yeah, I guess too, because scroll that back down. For there shall arise false Christ. And false prophets and show great signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now Jesus is talking. That's red letters, babe. That's talking to me and you. Amen. That's red letter. I didn't put that red letter there. That's in the Bible in red letter. That's Jesus talking. Everybody got it? Everybody understand? Amen. But if Christ in you, he can't be, if it's the real, if it's Christ, it can't be false. Can't be false. All right? But there shall arise false Christ and show great signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. All right, let's look at number four. Now, what is the seventh seal? Here we go to what we were going back to what the seal is. We must remember that the seventh seal is the end of time of all things. That's right. The things written in the seven seal book, sealed up of the what? Plan of redemption. I want that to go over and over in your head. If anybody says the seventh seal is this or that or the other, say, is it my redemption? Is it has something to do with my redemption? I'll listen to you, buddy. If it don't have anything to do with my redemption, if it's got where it makes this brother that and this brother that, I don't want it. I want to know about the plan of redemption for me. Amen? And you should say the same thing about you. So if somebody comes to you with a false doctrine, it doesn't have to do with the plan of redemption. Get away from it. I mean, really, come on. There's no redemption in... let's be honest. There's no redemption in an airplane or killing a black bear. You don't understand what I mean? We need to focus on what God's telling me and you. Amen? What God's telling us. That's the plan of redemption. The seals are the plan of redemption. This Bible has the plan of redemption in it. But now look, it every bit ends. It is the end. Now look, remember that word end. That word end is not like me and you think. We say, well, my life has ended. No, that's not what that end is.
Right.
Because look, it said it's the end of the struggling world. Now is the end of the world? No. Because when we take a body change and we leave here, the world's going to continue to go on.
Right.
Actually, in the millennium, it's going to go on another 1,000 years.
Right.
Then when we get to the white throne judgment, we got a new heaven and a new earth. The earth is eternal, so it's not going to pass away. So it's not the end. It's the end of the what? Just like I was trying to explain the other day with Hope back there. She didn't die. She just became a mama.
Yep.
Well, that ended her life of being without a child.
Right.
Right? So we got to do the same thing. When you became a Christian, it ended your life of being a sinner.
Right.
Amen? So that's the end that we're looking for. We're looking for the end of our redemption, which is the full possession of our body change.
Right.
That is what we're looking for. And you know what? Let me add one in here. It's the end of death. Death has been destroyed. Even Paul tells us, death, where's your sting? Great, where's your victory?
Right.
It's the end of the struggling world. It's the end of the struggling nature. It's the end of everything. And there's the end of the trumpets. Because you know what? The end of the trumpets is when God goes to the Jews,
right,
and the seven trumpets open under the sixth seal. And what happens? Christ comes and takes 144,000 and takes them in a rapture.
Right.
Amen? So that's the end of the 144,000, but remember, that's just their beginning of being the 144,000 eternal ones.
Yeah.
Alright? It's the end of everything. So remember, let's not look and say, well, Brother Brown, the seventh seal's just, it's the end. You know, there's a wall right there. It's the end. No? No, when God brings something to an end, it's just the beginning of something else, because remember, it's eternal. It's just a circle.
Right.
Find the end of the circle. You can't find it. But there is a phase you go through, because there's an end of this, an end of that, and the end of this, and the end of that. Listen, there should be an end of you and I struggling with our salvation.
Right.
That's what Brother Dale's trying to teach us right now. Is the end of our struggling of our salvation.
Right.
Then God can take us on up the statue of a perfect man.
Right.
Then God can speak to us more and more. But if you sit there worrying every day, well, you got to do something about it. He's laid the plan out. I mean, you couldn't do no more than write it on that wall. Ryan, did you put that there? Hey, wake up! Where's the stick at? Man. It's the end of the trumpets. It's the end of the cymbals. It's the end of the vials. It's the end of the earth. Now see, it's the end of the earth. But it's not the end of the earth like we think it's the end of the earth. Amen? So let's don't look at that word end like abrupt stop. It's like Brother Dale said, that, and even Brother Moten, I think, was teaching, or Brother Dale was teaching, the end of one step is the beginning of another. You end this step. Now, what is that step? That step, is, this step is built on top of that bottom step. So this ends this step and begins this one. But when you get on this step, it ends this one and begins this one. All right? So that's the way God is, because God never, how can an eternal God bring something to an abrupt end? It just, and when it's in God, it just keeps going and going and going. All right? Now there will be an end of sinners. There'll be an end of a sinful world. Well, see, that's not part of God. Anything that's not part of God will have an end. But Christ can't have an end. That's why if he's inside of you, you can't have an end. Amen? It's the even the end of time. Time runs out. But now look. Time runs out for me and you, but not for the Jews. Because they've got 1260 days they've got to be brought to salvation.
Right.
Then in the millennium, you've got 1,000 years of daylight, dark. You see what I'm saying? But we are not. We are eternal creatures right now. We just got to get this thing to catch up with what's inside.
Right.
And when we do that, then time will run out for us. That's the seventh seal. When the seventh seal produces itself, it's Christ back on earth in human flesh.
Right.
All those times when we're preaching on the I Am and all these different things where you can say I and my Father are one. I came from God. I go back to God. That's what that seventh seal was. It was telling you that that's what we're coming to. We're coming to a realization that that's who we are. You hear me? It's not an event. Do you know what the seventh seal is? Y'all line up. Well, don't do it now, but y'all line up. And if you want to see the seventh seal, I'll put the chart back right here. But everybody that's born again, come stand in front of it. That's the seventh seal.
Right.
Is your life standing there? What your life in Christ is, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, right?
Right?
So you're bringing Christ revealed. But remember, it's a secret to everybody else.
Right. Yeah.
Try to explain your crazy life to somebody else. How many times have you tried to explain your life to somebody else?
Yeah.
What the Lord's done for me, and they go, yeah, right, sure. Right? Well, that's a mystery. But now what? If you can get Christ in them, then they got a story.
Right.
Then they say, oh yeah, I believe that. Well, let me tell you about my experience.
Right.
It just keeps going on and on. Amen? So it's the end, everything runs out in this time, the end of this seventh seal. All right, let's go to number five. I'm sorry, let's read that. Notice, it's the end of the church age. It's the end of the seven seals. Because remember, what is the seven seals? Redemption. When you come to a body change, your redemption is over. Now, not the world and not the 144,000, but yours. That's what I'm telling you. You need to find the scripture that pertains just to you.
Glory.
Because you read in Revelation 9 about two witnesses. That's not to you. We can glory that they are a product of when we leave. But that's not to you. That 1260 days, I'll promise you, you don't want to be here during that time. So that's not to you. Set that aside. That's not to you. Lord, we glory that there's going to be 1260 day sermon to the Jews. But you're getting yours now. If you miss it now, you're not going to get it over there because that part of the scripture is not to you.
Right.
You got to find a scripture that is to you.
Amen.
All right, number five. And in Sabina Canyon says, this is the third pull. Now he's on the seventh seal. He's talking about the seventh seal. This is the third pull, and there's three great things that goes with it. One unfolded today, that's what he was preaching on, or yesterday. The other one unfolded today, and there's one that I cannot interpret because it's in an unknown language, but I was standing right there and looked right straight at it. And this is the third pull coming up. Now, what is the third pull? The opening of the word.
Right.
It's the catching of the big trout. Go back to the vision. It's the catching of the big trout. Remember, the bait on the hook was the healing campaign.
Right.
But it wasn't the hook that caught, the bait doesn't catch the fish.
Right.
It attracts it to
Amen.
The hook that you hide, that hidden mystery you hide,
yep.
in flesh.
That's what catches the trout.
Right.
It's the hook that catches the trout, not the bait. Now, the bait attracts it. You've got to have bait to get to it. But we've had many times bait stolen, Brother Danny. And did we catch any fish from that? No. No, but when we hid the bait, when we hid the hook and made the fish take it and eat it, and it caught that rainbow trout. All right? So now, he was standing and looked, this is the third pool coming up. The Holy Spirit of God, oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. Just shows it's from God. Now we're going to get to that in just a second about the shout and the voice. It's from God, for it fits exactly in the promises of God from the end of the message.
Right.
And notice now, for the end of time message, you and I are under the end of time message.
Right.
Amen? This is the only message you're going to get.
Amen. Right.
This is it. After all, he's revealed all the six seals, but don't say nothing about the seventh. Remember, there's no symbol. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible.
Right.
Now, it'll be a total secret, but remember, we go back to the mystery. If revealing Christ is the seventh seal, and Christ in you is the mystery, then where's the mystery lay?
Right.
It lays in you. Please realize that. And I'll promise you it'll take care of all this confusion of all these other things that needs to happen that we think needs to happen.
Yeah.
I'm only concerned with what's happening in me and you.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not concerned with all this other stuff. I'm concerned with what's happening inside of you and inside of me. Because let me read you a scripture that's real, plain and simple. Have you read this before? Yeah, we just read it a couple of Sundays ago in last Sunday. But look, let me go back to that quote just a minute ago. The end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret. So it's not for everybody. It's not for all the bride. It's only for the body change. The group that's going to take a body change. Those that have went on and passed on and are in the grave, and no, they're not in the grave, forget that. Lord, stop it. They're not in the grave. They're sitting over there waiting on us in the sixth dimension, waiting on us to get off and on.
Amen.
Amen? So they're waiting on us. What? They've come to their part. They've come to their perfection.
Right.
Amen? But somebody's got to come to the perfection here and draw them out of the grave.
Right.
It'll be a third pull. I'll promise you that. It'll be a pull because it's going to pull them right out of that grave.
Yeah.
Amen? So this message, look, this message around the world is a total secret.
Yep.
Try to, really, go take this message to the White House. Go take this message to your neighborhood church.
Right.
It's a mystery. They don't believe it.
Right.
So why are you sitting here?
Right. Amen.
So why are you sitting here? Oh, you believe it, right? It's just as plain as day to us. You know why it's plain? Because what's this? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we. Take your Bible and circle that word we. Because that's talking about no one but you.
Right.
That's not even talking about Paul now. Paul became a they. We, which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Now, what coming of the Lord is that? See, the denominations are going to read this, and they're going to say, oh, that's got to happen. You know, when we see Christ coming from, spread the eastern skies, and he's going to come walking down, you know, and he's going to come and get us. Left behind. Go watch that movie. Now, the whole world thinks it's a great movie and it's right in line with their denominational ideas. Why? It's wrong. You miss a rapture, you're not going to get a second shot. They get a second shot because it's that left behind thing. Now, if you left behind, you're going to be left behind, all right. My brother Dale said the other day, we can, a lot of people plead ignorance. You can't plead ignorance in this church. You've been told all the mysteries. That's what me and Claude have been talking about. You've been told all the mysteries. You've been given the full 7-course meal. Now, whether you believe it or not, that's your business. But you've been given it, and you can't plead ignorance. You can't plead. You can't sit there and look off on the wall somewhere and say, I didn't hear that. No, you heard it.
Yeah.
If you're alive, if you're not asleep, you heard it.
Yeah.
Boy, you better woke up. I was coming after you. I just didn't want you to fall out on the floor. Where was I? That we which are alive and remain, we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, that's a personal pronoun, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven to who? To you. To the we. To the we. With a what? A shout. With the voice of the archangel. And with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's why I said, Brother John, I'm not looking for a rapture. I forgot that.
Yeah.
Rapture's just an event that's coming. Right? There's got to be a resurrection first. There's got to be a body change second. Then there's a rapture. And the rapture happens only because the first two happen first. So you can preach, I'll see you in the rapture and all these other things. That's okay. That's all right. You can say that. Don't do away with the song. Some people get so dogmatic about other things. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you, though, why focus on a rapture? Satan would love for you to focus on a rapture. That left behind thing. But I want to focus on what? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, circle that word again, we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together. There's the rapture. Remember, the word rapture is not even in the Bible. Amen? But now the resurrection sure is. And the body change sure is, to wit, the redemption of the body. Romans 8, I want to read that to that brother sometime. I found about Romans 8, said, to wit, the redemption of the body. Don't tell me there's not enough redemption for the body. It's in the Bible.
Amen.
Then when we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. We shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Remember, we meet him there. So Brother Bram's going to tell us in his descending, he does these three things. Now remember, we were talking about this a couple of Sundays ago. It's not that God is up there descending down so that we can see him. The Lord himself shall descend. Now remember, he descended on the day of Pentecost, went in 120 people, and he didn't leave. He's still here. But he's descending in the word that we hear. He's descending. How can you I looked up the definition of descend. That means to go from a higher form to a lower form. Well, what's he doing? He's descending from a form we can't understand to a form we can't understand. Now, what's the form that you and I can understand? Thank you, sister. Christ in you. I can understand when I see, like Brother Dale said this morning, you're a Christian because you act like Christ. So what do you see? You see Christ or you see the person? No, you see Christ. That's the mystery. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And that's what we do every Sunday and every Wednesday. And every time we want to, we mash play. But that scripture, look, is specific to me and you. That's not to the first church age. That's not to the second church age. That's not to the third church age or the fourth or the fifth or the sixth and not even really to the seventh church age. That's to you and me. Because you and I are the only one that's going to hear the shout. We're the only one that's going to have the voice of the resurrection. And we're the only one, Brother Brown said, the trump always gathers the people together. He said to us, that's for the marriage supper. Okay? So that takes us right to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We've already went through a resurrection, a body change, and being caught up right there. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Let's go to the rapture message, number 6. Now I want you to notice a great thing taking place here. Don't miss this. See, notice the word says here in 2 Thessalonians that there's three things. Notice. Isn't it strange? There was three things in the opening of the seventh seal. Now there's three things in the descending of God. There was three things in the sixth seal that opened. All right? So three is what? Perfection. Notice from the 13th to the 16th birth, there is three things that has to happen before the Lord himself appears. Now remember, he will never appear in a body form on the earth until the millennium. Right? So who's he going to appear in? You! Sorry. I can keep you awake. Screaming at you. You and Brother Larry. Brother Larry's got his earphones in. I mean, his earplugs in, so. It just muffles. It doesn't take the sound away. It just muffles the sound. Right? That's right. And that's all right with me. That's okay. I ain't got no problem with that. At least he stays awake. But quickly now, we can close. Same way here. Notice a shout, a voice, a trumpet. Let's read now. For the Lord himself, 16th verse, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trumpet of God. Three things happen. A voice, a shout, a voice, a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Remember, he does not appear in body form. But Brother Branham said that he would become so visible among us that he would change us and we go into rapture. Right? I'll bring that quote next Sunday. Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. Now, where's he descending from? Not from heaven. Even Moses told the people a long time ago, he said, he's not in heaven. He's nigh thee, right. Even in thy mouth, the word of faith you preach. You got to bring this thing personal. I'm telling you, folks, and I'm just going to be really honest with you. That's what Claude says. I'm going to be really honest with you. That means I'm not going to lie to you. We have come to this far in this message, and we've got so many Catholic ideas till it's horrible. Brother Dale, pray for my kids. Brother Dale, save my kids. Brother Dale, take care of all my problems. I think you need to do your own praying. Because he didn't descend. Now sure, now look, he's got to descend in the ministry first. Because we're first partakers of the... But you part of that. Brother Branham, does the bride have a ministry? Yes. And it's going on right now. Amen? Three things. A shout, a voice, a trumpet. Now Jesus does all of them when he's descending. A shout. What is the shout? All right? Brother Branham, he's going to take this big thing. It's a shout. Now what is it? It's the message. He narrows it down. It's the message going forth first. The living bread of life bringing forth who? The bride. Who are you? Thank you. Three things happen. A voice, a shout has to happen before Jesus appears. He does all these things as descending. All right, let's go to the next quote, number 7. Rapture message. The first thing comes when he starts descending from heaven. Now remember, what is heaven? Heaven is the Word. So where's he descending from? He's descending from the Word. He's always been in the Word. He's just stepping forth to hey! Shout. Got your attention? But what happened? Look, you were going through life, and then all of a sudden, there was a shout. Now, I didn't get, well, yeah, I got shouted out by my mama, but most of you did too. Most of you did too. Okie dokie then. So anyway, but we didn't hear a physical shout. What'd you hear? You heard a message. You heard something you'd never heard before. Or you had heard something that tweaked your attention and you went, where'd that come from? I thought I was a Christian. I thought I already had it. You just didn't know, right? But that shout wasn't a physical, hey! But it was so profound, though, that it turned you, like Brother Dale said, you were going in this direction. And that thing, that shout come, and you turned, and you didn't go, what? No, you didn't do that. Well, somebody may have done it, but you didn't do that. You didn't go, start going backward. No, you turn and start headed toward that shout. You headed toward that message. The first thing is a shout. So it's got to be the message to get the people together. That's why you gathered here today. You didn't gather here because it was Lula, Georgia, or because Brother Dale's a preacher. You gathered here because you knew the message was going to come forth from somebody and that you were going to share the message with somebody right here in this sanctuary. All right? So a message to get the people together, a message comes forth first. What? Lamp trimming time. Now what is that? That was the part of the message that brought you to the lamp trimming time. You know what? You still, even though you might have been a Christian in a denominational church, which you could, I'm not arguing with you. But you still, when you came to the message, you still had to what? There was one thing you quit trimming. It was one thing you quit trimming. That was your hair, sisters. Amen? Though you might have been walking in this direction and everything is okay. But something turned you and said, hey, it's wrong to do that. Rise and trim your lamps. What watch was it? The seventh watch, not the sixth. The seventh, behold, what? Behold, a shout. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Now remember, the Bible says the voice of the bride and the voice of the bridegroom will not be heard in her anymore. Talking about the denominational world and the old mother whore. We'll read that next Sunday. It says, rise and trim your lamps. What? In this seventh watch, which is who? You and I. And they did. Some of them found they didn't have any oil in their lamp. That's the foolish virgin. That's the people that have struggled through all these years and not been taught correct how to get to new birth. Because remember, foolish virgins don't have the new birth. So somewhere along the line, they were justified and sanctified, and nobody could take them on to the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their soul. It could have been an anointing. Thank God Brother Branham taught us about anointed ones. But it's lamp trimming time. All right, let's go to the next one. What does a shout mean? The shout means an order, a command. Specifically, a stimulating cry. Huh. Either that by which animals are roused and urged on by man, as horses by charioteers, hounds by hunters, or that by which a signal is given to men. A signal was given to us by a prophet and said, here is God. Exactly. I was just going to say, Frieda said, come out of her, my people. That's exactly what it was. That was the shout. The shout was, come out of her, my people. Now her face is red as her dress is. You said you didn't this morning. Anyhow. You know, I thank God for these people these brothers and sisters that we walked with when we were little kids, and now they've all made a circle around and come back in our in our older age and being good solid Christians. You know, it wasn't then just a poster on the wall. It wasn't just a picture on the wall. To a lot of people, it was just a picture on the wall. You know what I mean about Brother Branham? It was just a picture on the wall. But now it's not. It's become something in our heart. It's become a life. It's become something God's give us. And thank God, God give us time. Thank God he didn't cut this thing off in 1965. How many of you in 1965 were even in this message? Maybe Brother Hal? Maybe Sister Tootsie? In 1965? No. And see what I mean? Rest of us is what? Dead. We were dead. Dead in trespass and sin. Dead in the denomination. We were dead somewhere. But see, God's give us time. Right. God's give us time to bring this thing together. But now look. He's long-suffering, but remember, there's a time that he's going to bring an end to this thing. So you and I are going to have to get off and on and start doing. We just got to stay working. Stay working. A signal given to men, to rowers by the master of a ship, to soldiers by a commander with a loud summons or a trumpet call. Because remember, a long time ago, you didn't have cell phones or different ones. It was tones and ringtones and things that you heard with your ear. You had a man on the wall. You had a porter. You had a watchman in the tower. Hey, there's somebody coming. Well, you know what? That was a shout to get everybody's attention, to get the attention of the people. Well, that's what Brother Branham came to this earth to do, was to get us not to get our attention on him, but to get our attention on Christ and what Christ is doing for you and me. Amen? Now, look, let's see number 8. The rapture message. Now, first thing is the sounding. First thing is the trumpet. He gets a little confused here. Let's go back. A shout, a voice, a trumpet. Shout is a messenger getting the people ready.
Right.
Now, who's the people? Me and you.
That's right.
Remember, this shout, voice, and archangel is not going to happen but to one group of people.
Right. That's right.
The second is a voice of the resurrection. The same voice. Now look, not a different voice. The same voice that a loud voice in St. John 11, 38 through 44 that called Lazarus from the grave. Remember, Brother Branham, I'll bring it to you next Sunday. Brother Branham said if Jesus would have said, everyone come forth, they would have come out of the grave.
Right.
He said Lazarus to bring one man out. But I'll promise you, that won't happen anymore. This voice of the resurrection is for those dead saints that are in the other dimension that's going to come into this dimension. Because look, it says getting the bride together and then the resurrection of the dead to be caught up with it. Now watch the three things take place. The next what was a trumpet, a voice shouting trumpet. Now the third thing is a trumpet. We'll cover that later on. Which always at the Feast of Trumpets is calling the people to the feast, and that'll be the bride supper, the lamb supper with the bride in the sky. See, because when we start getting the Feast of Trumpets, which brings everybody together for a feast, the Jews down here on this earth is getting their trumpets. The seven trumpets. They're getting, because the seven trumpets are not to us, but the Feast of the Trumpets is to us. It's a gathering. Come together. All right. The first thing comes forth is his message calling the bride together. The next thing is a resurrection of the sleeping bride. So what's the next thing we're looking for? See, don't look at me cross-eyed when I say I'm not looking for a rapture. He's not either. He's preaching the rapture message. But he tells us, look, the first is the message calling the bride together. The next thing is the resurrection of the sleeping bride. Now, who brought Lazarus from the grave? Jesus Christ. God in human flesh brought Lazarus out of the grave. The Son of Man brought Lazarus out of the grave. What ministry are you and I under right now? The ministry of the Son of Man. Christ back again, not in one flesh, William Branham, but in all the flesh of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's a seventh seal. But see, nobody wants to talk about it. Because, well, what's this great thing going on? Well, you think you got something? Yeah, I do. I've got everything he told me I got. Amen?
Amen?
Romans 8 says we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ.
Right.
Believe it. The next thing is the resurrection of the sleeping bride. The ones died back in the other ages, they're caught together. And the trumpet, the feast in the heavens, in the sky, why, that's the thing that takes place, friends. So what are we looking for? The message to call us together. Has this message already called us together? Yes. Calling us now, together. Now the problem is, like me and Brother Claude were talking about, how can you call the bride together under all these different doctrines? That's not the voice of God. But there is somebody is going to have to come together under the voice of God. Not the voice of so-and-so or brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or this so-and-so or that so-and-so. God's not that confused. This message is not that confused. Amen? It is not. But watch this. Let's read on down. The first thing comes forth. Hang, go back down. The next thing is the resurrection of the sleeping bride. The ones died back in the other ages. They're caught together. And the trumpet, the feast in heavens in the sky. Well, that's the thing that takes place. We're right there ready now. The only thing the church coming out has got to lay before the S-O-N to ripen. That's been our 50-year journey, or 60-year journey almost since the prophets died. It's what? Lay before the S-O-N. We've made it lay before somebody else. But we got to lay before the S-O-N to what? To ripen. All right, let's go to the next quote. Now watch this right here. God of this evil age. That's a good message for y'all to read if you got time. You listen only to one voice. My sheep know my voice. And a stranger, they'll not... what is his voice? Any man's voice is his word. So what is the voice? It's his word. And this is it. The Bible. Not one word to be added to it or taken from it. Just stay right with that voice. A stranger, they won't follow a denomination. Might I add a little bit to that? A false doctrine. Listen, how can the Holy Ghost send you to a false doctrine? You can't have a pure lead you to impure. Now you can have an impure doctrine and lead you to pure. But you can't have a pure, you can't have the Holy Ghost and it leads you to a false doctrine. Now listen, folks, you say, well, what about Luther and Wesley? God winked at their ignorance because there was, God had not descended to them in that form that he's descended into us now. Have you got that? He descended to Luther and the just shall live by faith. Luther was over here drinking a beer and smoking a pipe in a pub. He was a German. But that was his message. God winked at the ignorance of that man being a Trinitarian and baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But you come through the next one, got a little bit better, and you come through the Pentecostals that come with the gifts and all that. Then you come into the oneness. Then you come into the baptism in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Then you got the message that tied up all those loose ends and brought us what? See, look, Brother Branham had to, God through William Branham had to bring all the loose ends together and then bring his message. That's our problem. We major on the minor. The minor was the loose ends tying up. The minor was the healing campaign. The minor was all that. The major is what we're bringing now. The major is the opening of those seven seals to change our body. Without it, there was no one else, no other messenger except Jesus Christ himself. That's why the Son of Man ministry has to be here as pure as it was on the face of the earth in AD 30 to change our body because it's the only thing that changed his. You know what changed his body? The Word. You know what's going to change your body? The Word. Not some happening, not something I print on this board up here. It's going to be something for you. You listen to only one voice. What does that mean? Let's go look and see now what we got. We went from shout to voice. Let's see what voice is right here real quick. Voice is a sound or be noised abroad, a noise, a sound, a tone of inanimate things as musical instruments. But watch this right here. A voice. In other words, the sound of uttered words. There's the voice. The sound of uttered words. Not false. Listen, we now live under the voice of God. Not a voice, the voice. The voice of God is to get our bodies ready for a change. And it's right there in the scripture. It's not a new Bible that had to be written. We just got to take the prophet's message and lay it right in that Bible, and I guarantee you it'll fit. Well, you just got to believe. Listen to this. Watch this. You want to know what a thunder is? Next quote. Talking about live voices and voices and voices. Watch this. All right, here was voices. Oh, how we need in Lula, Georgia, thousands of lived voices. The thunder of God thundering out in sweetness and holiness, purity, undefiled lives, walking around in the earth today without a blemish. Brother Branham, who are you talking about? He's talking about you. Yes, sir, real Christians. That's thunder against the enemy. The devil don't care how loud you can holler. The devil don't care how much you can jump or how much can you do this or shout. But what hurts the devil is to see that sanctified, holy life consecrated to God. Yeah. Say anything to him, call him anything, just as sweet as it can be and move right on. Oh my, that throws him away. That's the thunder that shakes the devil.
Glory.
Thousands of lived voices. This message is absolutely no good without you and me. It's got to be someone speak it and someone receive it and become it. And God never speaks a voice without somebody to respond to it. He does not cast his pearl before swine. He does not what? He does not have a word return void. You and I can sit up here and we can talk and just say stuff about, you know, work and all that stuff. That's just junk. But when God speaks to us, there's got to be a speech and a reception.
Right.
Amen? So that's what you and I are. We are now thousands of lived voices, the thunder of God thundering out in sweetness and holiness. Purity, undefiled bodies, walking around earth today without a blemish. That's 1961, before the seals open. See that? That's the thunder that shakes the devil. Number 11. We got two more. 11 and 12, I think. And God has promised to meet the need of the hour. All right? He always does that. And we need the voice of God today. Amen. To meet the need of the hour. To meet the time we're living in. Remember what I said about scriptures? There's certain scriptures that means exactly you. You personally. God wrote that scripture knowing you would read it and be part of it right here. Well, that ought to shake your spoon right out of your bowl. Aaron. And after he has promised it, we can rest assured that he will keep his promise. That's the confidence that the believer has in his maker, that he promised to meet the need. And today, one reason that the church is in the condition that it's in is because there are so many voices. So many other voices to attract the church from the voice of God. Till it's very doubtful that many would hear the voice of God, though it spoke right in their midst. Wow, let's don't let that happen to us. Let's don't let that happen to us. They perhaps wouldn't even understand it because it would be foreign to them. They have got themselves so much centered on the voices of the day. Let's don't be that way. And if we notice in our scripture reading that the voice of God was foreign to them, you know, you see many times in the Bible, you saw Paul got knocked down by a light and God spoke to him, but all they heard around him was noise. Remember when God thundered down to Jesus, and remember even when Brother Branham was standing there in the canyon on that rock, and the whirlwind came down. Now, buddy, them guys got under cars and got hid behind rocks and hid everywhere. And here's Brother Branham standing right in the middle of it, and he didn't have one scratch on him. But you know what happened? They didn't hear. All they saw was rocks and noise. Remember, Brother Brown said, that was the angel telling me that judgment would strike the West Coast. See, there was a voice in that. Like in Job, there was a voice out of that whirlwind. All that stuff. Now remember, you take Elijah. Elijah, he heard the thunder, he saw the lightning, he saw all these different things, but did he move? No. He only moved when that still, small voice of God said, go out to the end of the cave. I got something I want to tell you. Remember, Elijah was so wowsy, wowsy, woo. I'm the only one left in Israel. There ain't nobody serving you, God, but me. God said, come on out here. Stand right here at the end of the cave. He said, there are 7,000 that I've got hid away that believe the same message you do, Brother Brown said. They believe the same message you do. So quit that wowsy, wowsy, woo stuff. But it's foreign to people. Foreign. The voice of God was foreign to them. Let's don't let the voice of God be foreign to us. And it's become that way again today. That the voice of God, there are so many other voices. And then if God promised He would give us that, and if other voices are contrary to the voice of God, then it must be the voice of our enemy to confuse us, and that's our problem. Right. That we would not understand the voice of God when it spoke. Boy, that's a wonderful, powerful quote right there. That is a powerful quote. All right, let's go to number 12. Uniting time and sign. What did he say in Malachi 4? Would restore back the original Pentecostal faith back to the people with the same Pentecostal message, same Pentecostal sign, same Pentecostal evidence, the same God, the same power, same teaching, everything exactly, with the vindication of the same pillar of fire that struck Paul down the road. Now look, he's showing all these vindications, all these external things. But now remember, that uniting is a secret. Your marriage to Christ is a secret. Watch. We see the nations uniting. We see the world uniting. We see the churches uniting. We see the bride uniting. What? Uniting with the Word. Why? The Word is God. And as the Word, as the bridegroom being the Word, and the bride being the hearer, remember there's got to be the receptor. They come together in a union. They unite like a wedding. See, they're getting ready for a wedding. And they become one. The Word becomes you. Now, he didn't say part of it.
Right.
The Word becomes you, and you become the Word.
Glory.
Jesus said at that day, you know what? All the Father is, I am. And all I am, you are.
Amen.
And all you are, I am. In that day, you'll know that I in the Father, Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, at that day. What day? So there's you another scripture that you can say that wasn't for this one or that one for the other one. That's for today. We find out the great hidden mysteries of God being revealed. Oh, how I like that. So the Word is the voice of the day. And where is that Word? It's in the bride. Right? Now watch, let's go to the next one. We read this one last Sunday. Let's read this and then we'll finish. It's the rising of the sun. I like this, sir. I love this message. Now notice this quickening power, Zoe, bringing the Word. The mind that was in Christ was in you then. I'm trying to show you that you, when you raised, when God raised Jesus from the dead, He raised up you also. When are we going to start believing the prophet? He raised up you also, and also quickened to life with Him. You are now quickened to life, although then you were but an attribute in His thought. What? When God came out of the grave, when Jesus Christ came out of the grave, you were an attribute. You weren't a person. You were an attribute in that man. Although then you were but an attribute in His thoughts, but God had saw all in Him at the end. Seventh seal. At the end. When God looked upon the body, the Spirit left Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die a man. Remember, friends? He didn't have to do that. That was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh. And if He had went up there as God, He'd have never died that kind of death. We know the Spirit left Him so He could die. Okay? Can't kill God, but He didn't have to do it. But remember, He went there with you in Him. See, God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, He saw both male and female back to the same thing. In the beginning. With Adam. When He looked at Adam, He saw both male and female. It was all redeemed in that one body. See, they are one. Same Word. The same Word spoke of the groom speaks of
glory, right?
The bride. So you read these great things that happened to our Lord Jesus, and remember that your prophet said that whatever speaks of him speaks of you. That's why you and I can do, we can be the I am. Because he told us we could be. We can be the one that came from God and the one that went back to God. We can be that because he told us that's what we are. She is him. When are we going to believe that? When we see that happening, we'll take a body change. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians, come. That same voice that brought Lazarus from the grave. If that's what it spoke of him, he's the bridegroom, amen?
Right.
He's the bridegroom, and we're the bride.
Right.
We were in him when he said, Lazarus, come forth.
Right.
When he told Martha or Mary, whichever one, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. You and I were in him. And represented in him at that time. When are we going to start believing that? Let's sing a song.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him. For Jesus is the lighthouse.
What's that? What number is that? What?
348.
348 in the spiral book.
He has shown this light around us that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, then
where would we be without this message? Where would we be? We'd be listening to a thousand other voices. But no, we are getting our fuel from God. We're getting our life from God Almighty.
And from the rocks of sin, he has shown his light. That I could clearly see, if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him.
So that you and I can be recipients and beneficiary of this great thing that we call the message of the hour.
That I would clearly see if it wasn't for the lighthouse. Tell me where would this ship be?
You and I, if we lay this thing down and don't pick it up and go with it, somebody will. Because it's a promise that somebody will come to this. We just got to believe that it's you and me. Come what may, whatever, the storms of life, man, it doesn't matter. You just got to stay on course. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the greatest mystery. Satan, you know why it's a mystery to Satan? It's the one thing he can't do. He can impersonate signs, wonders. He can impersonate all that. What he cannot impersonate. Now, he can impersonate a Christian life, but he can't be a real Christian. That's one thing he cannot do. He cannot be a Christian. But you can. And you are. If you're born again, you're a Christian. That's one thing Satan can't do. He can't get born again. So where's the great mystery? Where's the great seventh seal? Where's this great thing coming from? Coming from inside of me and you.
Glory.
Let's sing one song before we go downstairs. We got to Some of them are going down to take care. Let's sing page 389. It is well with my soul. I want everybody to sing that. I want it to be well with your soul today before you leave. Brother Dale's coming in and preaching a message now that if it's not well with your soul, I doubt it's going to get any better. I'm just telling you. There's a time when God, He's real long suffering, but there comes a point in time when He says, okay, that's enough. I've been through this over and over again. Remember, He come to the point where He said, okay, I've had enough, Joshua, you're going to take them over. Y'all wandered in this wilderness long enough. You're going to take some, Joshua, you're going to take them over. And what's Joshua? Joshua is the type of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is what's going to take us over. So let's sing, it is well with my soul.
When peace like a river,
sing it,
attendeth my way.
When sorrows like seas billows roll. Think of this now. This guy lost his wife and all of his children except for one.
For my Lord, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Satan should buffet, though trials shall come,
and they will.
Let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my head. Shed His own blood for my soul.
Sing it to Him.
Oh, it is well with my soul.
Hallelujah.
Oh, it is well. It is well with my soul.
Now,
oh my sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole.
Hallelujah! It was nailed.
Faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll.
Listen to this.
The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend, even so.
One more time.
one, Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait.
Listen to this.
The sky, not the grave, is our goal.
Boy, he must have had a revelation.
Oh, the shout of the angel, the voice of the Lord. Blessed hope, blessed rest on my soul.
What a man. The man that wrote that song lost his wife and children in a voyage across the sea. He's one of Dwight Moody's followers. He's a real successful man. He gets on a boat and he goes and tells him to take him right across the same spot that where his wife and his children died. And he wrote that song, "When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like seas billows roll." What a man had lost everything he had almost. "Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." And then, "But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy coming we wait. The sky, not the grave, is our goal." Oh, the shout of the angel. You know, he never heard the voice of God like we heard the voice of God. We're hearing the voice of God that's going to bring that man, which I believe he was a Christian, it's going to bring that man out of the grave. Amen. It's going to bring that man that sang this song, wrote this song with so much passion. He wrote this song so that we can sing it. And his question is it well? Because you know what? It was well with his soul. It didn't change him at all. He didn't go crazy. He didn't quit being a Christian because God was so mean to him. No, he just kept living his life. Wrote that beautiful song and kept right on going. And went on and remarried again. Had more family. You know what? He just kept going on. Because it was well with his soul. Now, I'm sure he fought that a lot in his human spirit. But now, that anchor of the soul, it's what kept him. Now he's laying waiting on you and me to fulfill every bit of that. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you give us a time and an opportunity to fall in love with you again one more time, Lord. To fall in love with your word, Lord, and that's you. And this word, Lord, has now become flesh in our hearts and our lives, Lord. We pray that you'd just be with us now. Take care of us as we go downstairs and enjoy a little cake and ice cream. Father, we pray that we will, during this week, we'll all just have a supernatural good time, Lord, until we come back together and you be with Brother Keith Reed and his wife, Sister Francine, as they travel here on Saturday, and be with us, Lord, and just take care of us as we go and spend a few days of vacation time, Lord, on the lake bank there and just talk about you, Father. I'm sure you'll be part of the conversation. Lord, I pray that you'd just take care of us and be with us, lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit, heal the sick, save the lost, Father, and bless the ones that are here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Oh, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is soul.